Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the podcast today on February the 23rd, 2021. My name is Joanne. Thank you so much for coming along and going into the Word of God with me. It's going to be a good day. I'll tell you what, sometimes we just do the little bit that God gives us, and then He just takes it from there. So, Father, let it be that way again. Father, as we're faithful with the little that you give us, Holy Spirit, would you just come alongside us and bring the more? You know, just speak what you want to speak, have your way in what we hear and what we are transformed by, which is your word of truth. And we give you praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Okay, the little bit that I got this morning starting out was in the area of adoption, how we are adopted as sons and daughters into the kingdom. If you think about the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with Father God at the head of the deity, it's a relationship, isn't it? It's community between the three. They are in relationship together. And that's exactly what kingdom is supposed to be. It's family. And we are adopted in to this fellowship with God. So let's look at a couple scriptures on adoption to start us off. Says Galatians 4:5, you know, God came to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. Romans 8:15, it says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So Holy Spirit is actually called the spirit of adoption. And then Ephesians 1:5. Back up to 4, it says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love. So before the world was ever created, we were chosen. Okay? To verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus Himself. So God's plan all along was to make us a part of His family. He opened His arms wide and received us in as sons and daughters, adoption. I don't get into the predestination teaching. You know, it's like you were chosen and you weren't. I believe it was the plan. Okay. The predestined part was what God was going to do through Christ Jesus. And for those of us who have come into the kingdom, our job now is to go seek and save the rest of the lost. That was also predestined for us as well. So, have you ever thought about going into the animal shelter? I've done this a few times to find a pet. And you see all these animals in cages, and normally you're just trying to pick out one. And I can remember this one golden retriever mix. He was sitting at the back of the cage, and all these other little yappers were jumping up and down in front of him. But he was just sitting real good and tall, like, pick me, I'll be good, pick me. And the sad part about going into animal shelters is that you have to leave all those others in those cages. And it's like you might pick out one, but look at all the others that didn't get adopted. And it's not like that with God. You know, when God comes in and He sees people in their bondage and in their cage, He says, I can take you all home with me. It's like you all get to come. Every one of you gets to be adopted into my family. And then once He brings us home, you know, He has to teach us how to behave. Okay, that's part of the transformation and change. But, you know, God says, I can adopt each one. You know, I can bring them home. So we just need to give thanks and rejoice for God that He does adopt us and make us His sons and daughters. Last night, I listened to a message on YouTube by Dan Moeller, and the title of it said, Dan's Take, His Opinion on the Internet, Social Media, iPhones, and iPads. And he explained right at the very beginning, quoting Bill Gates, that his intention was to create social media platforms where people are connected online with others all the while they are in isolation in their own home. And I mean, we've just got people out there that are isolated and alone, and this false reality that is given right now to the world and to these generations is that you're connected, you know, via internet. You've got all these friends, you've got all this connection, but yet you're isolated and you're alone. And how sinister is that? How wicked is that to present a false reality of being connected when it was never the design of our Father God, who is in relationship and family himself? You know, we're being created in his image, all right? His image is this Trinity, this connection with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're created in his image. We're meant to be in connection and in relationship with others, face to face, okay? So I want to call this out right now, that it's a false reality. It's a fantasy that people are in connection with others through social media. That's not the design that we were called to. And so may God break people out of that deception. Amen. So this means that in the church, those of us who are in fellowships and are connected, that means that people will come in who have been broken. Okay. And so we'll call this next part, you know, receiving those who are broken, those who have been lied to, those who want to be adopted. You know, they hear the call of God saying, hey, I can adopt you, come home to me. And so here they come. They're coming into the fellowship. They're coming into the kingdom and into church. And we are the ones who are ready to receive them in. Okay. What will they find when they come into the church? Because this is Jesus's agenda right now, okay? Receiving the broken and helping them get healed up. Our arms need to be wide open. Now, last year, I heard this a lot about it was a season. 2020 was a season of separating the wheat and the tares. And when Jesus told the story about the end of the age and the harvest that was going to come in, said that God will remove the tares, the false things, from his kingdom. And I believe the passage even says, and all things that offend. You see, when God brings people into the kingdom in the days ahead and even now, he doesn't want those tares offending them. Okay? He wants the wheat with open arms ready to receive them. And we'll just let that soak in a minute. Let's look at how Jesus did ministry. Mark chapter 1. This is in all three Gospels. Beginning with verse 40, it says, a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling down to him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Can you hear the disciples gasping when Jesus touched him? Because according to the Levitical law, you know, the lepers had to keep distance from those who were not diseased. They had to yell unclean. And so this leper came right up to Jesus. And according to the Levitical law, if you touched a leper, if you touched their clothes, or if you even sat on a rock where they had been sitting, you were then ceremonially unclean and had to be purified. So that was the law. But Jesus, he stretched out his hand and touched the leper and made him clean. You see, when the broken come into our midst, they don't make us dirty. We of Jesus and of the kingdom, we stretch out our hand and touch them and we make them clean. Okay. This is the truth of the gospel. And so we don't need to fear the broken coming into our midst. We can receive them with open arms because we're going to get them cleaned up and healed up and all. Okay. This is Jesus's kind of ministry. And I actually encountered someone over the weekend whose life was just crumbling apart and she needed some arms wrapped around her. She needed that strength. She needed my shoulders, okay? And so I believe that this is what God wants us to do in the days ahead, to be willing, you know, to reach out and to embrace those who are coming to us. Some of them are at their breaking point. And I'll tell you what, we're going to break off some religious barriers, okay? We're going to break off some of this legalistic stuff in the church. And there's something that's going to be broken, and it's the chains off of people. It's the things that have held them bound and captive. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for this, God. So I need to tell you about the waitress I encountered over the weekend in the restaurant. And we'll be looking at John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. Well, anyway, I had this conversation with a waitress inviting her to church. You know what she said to me? She says, oh, they judge me. Look, I have tattoos. And I said, oh, no, you won't be judged. I said, you would love our church service. I said, in fact, the guy that operates the sound booth, he has a whole sleeve. In other words, his whole arm is just tattooed from the wrist all the way up. And I know he's got even more than that. It's called a sleeve. And I mean, the look on her face was like, you allow people with tattoos in your church? Because, you know, she was thinking, okay, if I come into your church, I'm going to be judged. Okay? Let's look at this verse of scripture in John chapter 8, because Jesus was teaching in the temple. And in came the scribes and the Pharisees to interrupt him, and they had with them a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Lovely. Do you think they gave her clothes to wear? Okay, now, I said to him, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, condemned to death. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So let's look at this from the woman's perspective, okay? She was exposed. She was caught right in the middle of her sin. She was probably naked. So everyone knew she was humiliated. It was very obvious what she had done. And not only that, she was feeling impending doom. She was feeling judgment, condemnation, this fear that she was getting ready to die. Because, I mean, they brought her forward. She just was like, okay, they're going to judge me. They're going to condemn me. And, you know, people coming in from the brokenness of the world, that the condition that it's in, do you not think that they feel totally exposed, like everyone knows what they've done? It may be really obvious what they've been in, you know? What are you going to do if a transgender walks in your church? They've had surgery, but they want healed. You know. Can they come in without fear of judgment? Lord, help us. So, fearing death, fearing condemnation. So when they continued asking Jesus, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. You see, these Pharisees and scribes were known for kind of doing the same kind of thing. Chances are some of the ones with a rock in their hand had actually been with this woman. Maybe they'd been with other women. And so, yeah, the one without sin, you get to throw the first stone. And, you know, Jesus, the only one who was without sin and had the right, to throw the stone, he didn't. So Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You see, when we love people and receive them first, then we have the opportunity to tell them, hey, your sinful lifestyle is hurting you. Don't do that. Okay, but they need to experience this love and this grace and mercy before we can ever start correcting them on their lifestyles and showing them how to behave, right? And church, what if people who were previously wounded came into the church now and found a totally new heart and new spirit? What if they came in and experienced the love and the freedom, the grace of Jesus? They didn't experience the critical condemnation, the accusation, and the judgment that they might have incurred before in church wounds. What if this was a new day that they came in? Wouldn't that be nice? Because this question came to mind. It's like, church, do you want sanitized Christianity? Or do you want to do ministering like Jesus did, healing up the broken? Because you know what? I'm in Ignite. I'm in middle school. Right now we've got these young black boys that are coming in. They're being loaded up in a car and they're brought in. And some of them don't know how to act. Some of them are as nervous as all get out, and they're fidgety and they're loud, and you know, they feel silly. But you know what? We're loving them. We're being patient with them. Okay, because God gets to choose who he's bringing into our midst. And when he brings in the broken, when he brings in the unchurched, I mean, he's saying, this is your assignment right here. Okay, because often we want to show partiality to the ones that won't get our hands dirty. Okay, so we're going to look at this thing on partiality, because I was surprised as I looked this up in the scriptures. Partiality is mentioned a lot in the Bible. It really is. And there's warnings about it. I'm going to read to you from James 2, but I also want to list off a couple of these others. Look this up. Of course, you have to spell it right to get them to pull up, don't you? There we go. All right. So in the New Testament, it just flat out warns us. Romans 2:11, there is no partiality with God. Peter opened his mouth and said, Acts 10, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Ephesians 6:9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. There's no partiality with him. Colossians 3:25, he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. In other words, we don't serve a partial God. He's not partial to people based on their economic status. And I know that, you know, people coming into the church who, you know, are wealthy or the business class, yeah, they're not dirty. You know, it's like, okay, that's going to be a lot easier to minister to, you know, but when someone comes in that's maybe got the filthy clothes, you know, and they're really broke, God says, show no partiality. So this is found in James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Brothers and sisters, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man with filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, here, you sit in a good place, but you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? God says this is evil thinking. So Jesus wants us to be willing to love the broken and to minister to the broken. You know, not just choose the ones that look clean, that won't get us dirty. Like I said, we're the ones who can touch the lepers and they get clean. Here's one more passage we'll look at. It's from Matthew chapter 9. Because Jesus, he hung out with the tax collectors and sinners, and it really irked the religious. And when they saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So I just kind of think that if we want to do ministry like Jesus did, we've got to be willing to receive and adopt, okay? To love those maybe who are harder to love, and the ones that God is bringing into the church, those who have been isolated and just broken by life. And, you know, God will mend anyone. One of the songs in the program today was Zach Williams with Chainbreaker. And it also says he's a pain taker. You know, we all come into this world and we experience pain, and we all come broken before the Father, and we just want our pain taken away. Well, guess what? God's up to that. God's up to that right now. It doesn't matter what level of life you've come in. People come in broken, and he wants us to minister to everyone and help take away their pain. Okay. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have brought us freedom. We rejoice in you and we praise you that you have adopted us as your sons and daughters. And Father, give us the compassion, the grace, and the heart of Jesus to receive those that you bring into us. Help us to show no partiality. Father, we don't want them to experience judgment or condemnation, but Father, the same forgiveness of and love that the woman in adultery experienced with you, Jesus. Father, would you forgive us for giving a cold shoulder to people that we didn't want to minister to? Father, would you forgive us, Lord, for judging or condemning others? And Father, would you heal up those wounds that people have experienced when they've come into church? Father, would you draw them back and help them to come in to kingdom environments that have a new heart and a new spirit? Yeah. Make us one. Make us like you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, folks. I want to give a shout out to Ireland. I'd love it if you'd message me and let me know what is taking place as you are listening to the podcast, what you're doing with them. I would really like to know. Until next time.